RNZ Pacific News, I look at the one talk, me, Koroi Hawkins. Fiji's former election supervisor, Mohamed Sanim, is under investigation by the anti-corruption agency for alleged abuse of office and has been stopped from fleeing the country. The Fijian Elections Office, or FEO, says Mr. Sanim is alleged to have, on numerous occasions, unlawfully authorised payments of sitting allowances to members of the Electoral Commission and has been referred to the Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption. Craig Stephen has more.
The elections body says the Constitutional Officers Commission had clarified to Mr. Sanim that the allowance for the chairperson and members of the Electoral Commission remained at the same rate of 500 Fijian dollars per person per meeting. Mr. Sanim, however, had continued to instruct allowances to be paid to the Commission's members for attending events other than meetings, including social functions. According to the Elections Act, the election supervisor has no authority to determine when an Electoral Commission meeting takes place. The FEO says the former elections boss continued to deviate from this and constantly give instructions for allowance payments to members.
A New Zealand employer says there could be delays getting Samoan seasonal workers into the country because visas still need to be processed. Samoa's cabinet placed a suspension on seasonal workers going to New Zealand and Australia in January, but has now resumed participating in the schemes. Yummy Fruit General Manager Paul Painter says the labour is needed.
The biggest challenge now will be getting the visas processed, which is always a challenge. And I think there's 1,400 people from Samoa coming over in February, and that's a lot of work to be done by the visa office. So we'll see what happens there. Could still be some delays yet.
Mr. Painter says Yummy Fruit was short of about 100 people. There are hopes an upcoming meeting will throw water on a growing fire surrounding the looming release of radioactive nuclear waste water from the wrecked Fukushima Daiichi power plant into the Pacific Ocean. The government of Japan and Pacific Islands Forum leaders are to meet in Japan next week. The forum and its scientists maintain there is no scientific proof the operation is safe, while Japan maintains it is safe and says it's working to provide sufficient proof. Tokyo Electric Power Company, which owns the power plant, says it's preparing a response to the forum's request for more information alongside the government of Japan. The meeting is set down for the 7th of February. New Zealand's Prime Minister has held talks with iwi leaders at Waitangi this morning. He says one of his key messages was that his government is committed to keep working with Māori. Our political editor, Jane Patterson, is at Waitangi. She says Chris Hipkins also called on politicians to stay away from the using divisive language.
He said a big message from him to Māori was that this government is committed to keep working with Māori on some of those really key and hard issues, particularly around cost of living, housing and that sort of thing. But another thing that obviously was a key topic of conversation was co-governance and the warning that politicians should not be using language and policies like co-governance to whip up division, to whip up racism in New Zealand.
Chris Hipkins said he believed the government had not communicated well what co-governance was about. The criminal court in French Polynesia has given three foreigners prison sentences of up to 7 years for smuggling cocaine. The catamaran of two Dutchmen and a Pole was intercepted in Nukuhiva in the Marquesas in 2017 with 500 kilograms of the drug on board. The three, who had sailed from Central America, said they were unaware of the cargo. After being in detention for 2 years, they were allowed to leave Tahiti pending their trial. They were convicted in their absence. The court issued no order for them to be arrested and serve their sentence in Tahiti. It's not immediately clear if the prosecution will appeal. Journalist Victor Mambo, who's the chief editor of West Papuan newspaper Jubi, has received the Octavianus Pohau Award from the Indonesian-based Pontau Foundation for courage in journalism. The foundation's Andreas Hasono says Mr. Mambo's decision to return to his father's homeland and defend the rights of indigenous Papuans through journalism, as well as being steadfast in the face of intimidation after intimidation, made the jury agree he was a courageous journalist. Late last month, a bomb exploded outside Mr. Mambo's home in Jayapura in an apparent planned attack. Mr. Mambo suspected it was related with Jubi's coverage of the murder and mutilation of four indigenous Papuans in October 2022, wherein four soldiers were charged with premeditated murder. The Fiji government is planning to phase out the Fiji Independent Commission Against Corruption. The announcement has been made by Fiji's Prime Minister, Sitiveni Rambuka, coinciding with the recently published Corruption Perception Index by anti-corruption global agency Transparency International. In the index, Fiji scored 53 points and was ranked 49th equal out of 180 countries. Chairperson of Integrity Fiji, Jofiliti Veikoso, says it will be difficult to remove the commission due to the constitution.
We would like to really re-emphasize that having anti-corruption agencies are key to the fight against corruption. So I think it's very key that they need to be kept, but maybe just really looking at their role.
Tonga police say a 17-year-old male pedestrian has been seriously injured after being hit by a vehicle. Police responded to the incident on Wednesday, the 1st of February, around 1 p.m. In a statement, police say the driver, a 52-year-old male, was heading west on Taufahau Road and without due care while overtaking the vehicle in front, he hit the victim who was crossing the road. A magistrate ordered the accused be remanded until the medical examination result is released. Police investigations continue. In Samoa, a woman has pleaded guilty to manslaughter of her 13-year-old daughter who died following being hit by a stone. The Samoa Observer reports the 38-year-old pleaded guilty to one count of manslaughter and one count of being armed with a dangerous weapon through her lawyer. Christina Persico has more.
Supreme Court Justice Fepule Aie Emeparosa Roma noted the plea and adjourned the matter for the parties to prepare pre-sentencing documents by March 8th. According to a report received by the police, initially the mother beat her 11-year-old daughter, who ran off, which angered the mother. The report says the mother then picked up a stone and took aim at her disobedient child, but the stone instead hit her 13-year-old daughter. Deputy Police Commissioner Papale'e Monalisa Tia Ikete said the 13-year-old was later taken to the hospital complaining of a sore head. She died a few days later.
King Charles will not feature on Australia's new $5 note. The country's Reserve Bank said the new design would pay tribute to the culture and history of Indigenous Australians instead. A portrait of the late Queen Elizabeth appears on the current design of the $5 note. The $5 note is the only Australian banknote to carry the image of the monarch. President Vladimir Putin has used the 80th anniversary of the Soviet victory in the Battle of Stalingrad to claim that Russia is being threatened again by German tanks. Last month, Berlin agreed to allow its Leopard tanks to be used to help Ukraine fight the Russian invasion. Mr. Putin sought to make a comparison with the Soviet Red Army's defeat of the Nazis in Stalingrad in southern Russia, one of the bloodiest battles of the Second World War. China has denounced a plan by Canada to take 10,000 Muslim Uyghur refugees from China over the next 2 years. The BBC's Celia Hatton has more.
Canada has risked its once rosy relationship with Beijing in order to focus on China's treatment of Muslim Uyghurs. It was one of the first countries to denounce Beijing's believed detention of around 1 million Uyghurs as genocide. On Wednesday, all 322 members of Canada's parliament agreed a plan to allow 10,000 Uyghur refugees into Canada, noting that Beijing uses intimidation tactics on those who've already fled China to get them to return to China's northwestern Xinjiang region.
The United States House of Representatives has passed a resolution to remove Democratic politician Ilhan Omar from the powerful House Foreign Affairs Committee. Republicans have argued Ms. Omar from Minnesota should not serve on the committee in light of past statements she has made about Israel. Some of these comments have been criticized as anti-Semitic. Democrats have criticized the push to oust Ms. Omar, arguing it amounts to an act of political revenge. And sports, the Oceania Football Confederation and Asian Football Confederation have signed an agreement. They say they will see more matches between the two continents. The MOU was signed in Bahrain during the Asian body's annual congress. Moira Tulapa-Taylor has more.
Oceania Football President Lambert Maltok says the agreement is hugely significant and beneficial for football in the Pacific. A joint statement from the two bodies said the MOU would result in high-level competition for the men's and women's teams. An OFC spokesperson added that it opens up the possibility of the Oceania Club champions playing in the Asian equivalent competition and vice versa. The spokesperson also added that it could result in more pan-continental matches. For example, Solomon Islands playing against China to test them against higher-ranked opposition.
That's sports and news from RNZ Pacific. There's more on our website, rnzi.com.